given a ticket and you have two destinations, and it's your job to create a pathway to get there. You know what the end is, and your job is to create the means to get there. Now, if you're an engineer like me, you may want to try and get the most direct route. Or if you know the game, you may try and get as many routes as you can in one, and you can do this meandering kind of pathway. But there's it highlights that when we have one destination and one end, that there's often many different paths to get there. The same thing is true in travel, you know? I mean, when we first start looking, every summer, when we look at going to visit my family, and we think about going back to Iowa, we wait. Do we want to drive this year and make it a road trip? Do we want to try taking a train ride for the first time? Maybe the girls would like that, or maybe we'll take an airplane. There's all kinds of means of travel, and there's really this in many different ways. Well, when it comes to our lives and the way that God works, God has a mean, He has an end, and He has a purpose in mind. And oftentimes He uses different means to accomplish that, and that's what we're going to look at here today. And so today, as we read through the text, we're going to be looking at Acts 22, verses 30, through 23, verses 35, so pretty much all Acts chapter 23 with a little extra verse. You can find it on page 905, I believe, in your Bibles, or 1732. If you want to follow on YouVersion, you can see the link to our sermon notes there. But I want you to think about, as you read this text, see if you can find the end that's there, and then we're going to look at some of the means that God uses to get there in this text. And so, if you can follow along with me in the reading of God's Word, Acts 22, verse 30 through 23, 35, it says this. The commander wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews. Now, if you remember, Paul has just been in a riot, and then he gave his testimony and created another riot. The Roman commander who spared him, doesn't speak Hebrew or Aramaic and doesn't know exactly why everything's going on. And so his goal is that he can discover what's happening. And so the next day he released him and ordered the chief priests and all the members of the Sanhedrin to assemble. Then he brought Paul and had him stand before them. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, my brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day. At this, the high priest, Ananias, ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, God will strike you, you whitewashed wall. You sit there to judge me according to the law, but yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck. Those who were standing near Paul said, how dare you insult God's high priest? Paul replied, brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest. For it is written, do not speak evil about the ruler of your people. Then Paul, knowing that some of them were Sadducees and others Pharisees, called out to the Sanhedrin, my brothers, I am a Pharisee, descended from Pharisees, and I stand on trial because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. The Sadducees said, there is no resurrection, and there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believed in all these things. And there was a great uproar, and some of the teachers of the law who were Pharisees stood up and argued vigorously. We find nothing wrong with this man, they said. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. You heard that right. They were afraid that Paul would be torn to pieces, and he ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force when bringing him into the barracks. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify me. The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot, and they went to the chief priests and elders and said, we have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of learning more accurate information about this case, and we are ready to kill him before he gets there. But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, take this young man to the commander. He has something to